Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26 and reading verses 1 to 19. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried to the Lord, God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is within you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in the morning, nor have I removed any of it from an unclean use for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you've commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day, the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today, you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed to you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and he will set you high above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. Dear people of God, we looked on Sunday at the topic of thanksgiving from the perspective of worry. So we enter this season and all kinds of things are upon our minds, whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be jobs, whatever it may be. And the temptation is, because we don't have them to the level that we desire or want, that we begin to worry. And so our hearts are heavy, and we're not certain of what the future is going to bring, and we're concerned about it. We worry about it. Everything from what we wear, what we eat. And we looked, of course, at the remedy that God provides for us in Matthew's gospel, which is we're not to worry. We're to fix our eyes on the fact that our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he's not an absentee father. He's a very intimate father. He knows everything that is happening to us, both good and evil. And he's actively working for our good. He's not neglecting us. He's not turning away. He's not on vacation. He's not sleeping. He's a good shepherd. He watches over us. And so in times in our life when things are difficult, we're not to panic. We're not to start worrying and being anxious about things as though we have nobody looking after us. We're like orphans. We're never orphans because God has adopted us as his children. And what parent isn't there that watches over their children? They always care for their children, whether they live at home or whether they moved out. We still watch over them. Well, parents may falter in that. But our Father in heaven never does. So we can be sure that in our trials, in our difficulties, the Father is watching us. And so we can be patient. We can wait upon it. We need to know what the scriptures teach, that our faith in him is so strong and real that even when things don't appear the way that we think they ought, we still trust in him. We mentioned that, of course, in Habakkuk. Even though everything fails, even if I don't have a job, even if I don't know where my next meal is coming from, even though I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight, God has not failed me. And therefore, I will still praise him and trust him. But this morning, we're looking at Thanksgiving from a different perspective, from the other end of the spectrum, we might say. When everything is going great, when we don't have to worry about the next meal, we don't have to worry about paying bills, that God has blessed us. And so the danger is that we become proud. The danger is that we think, oh, I've got everything like the rich farmer, that he has everything for years to come. He doesn't have to worry about anything. Worry is far from his mind. He lies in bed speaking to himself. To his soul. Instead of the soul looking to God and trusting in him, he is speaking to his soul and saying, relax, everything is taken care of. What a terrible place to be. Instead of giving God thanks, we take the glory for ourselves. And God was concerned about that in terms of his people. And earlier on in Deuteronomy, he reminds them of that. Even as they are going into the promised land, the Lord knows that these are temptations and dangers for us. And so he tells them that. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And he goes on, who delivered them from Egypt, brought them out there, all the nations that were against them, brought them to the promised land, defeated the nations so that he could supplant his people in a land that he has promised to them. So he's saying, be careful. as the blessings come and you enjoy them, be careful. Don't be proud. Don't think you can stand on your own two feet. And the passage that we read is one way that God impresses on their minds. As you know, the Old Testament is very tangible, just like the way we teach our children when they're young. Is it, everything is physical. You look at it, you handle it, that's the way they learn. Not so much with their mind, right? Just give them theoretical things, but practical things that they can do and see and learn from. And that's what it is in the Old Testament. And so they were given the year in terms of Thanksgiving that they were to bring, physically bring, the good of the land that God had given to them and bring it back to God and acknowledge these things before the priests so they would be reminded of it. And that's what we have of Thanksgiving. That's what it ought to do for us. And so the first thing that they were ordered to do, commanded to do, was to learn this lesson by bringing the first fruits to the Lord. So the gala basket physically put the stuff in of what they had, whether they were farmers or whatever they their jobs entailed. But to bring that and bring it physically to the tabernacle, to the priest, where God put his name. So that they would understand that all of this that they have brought has come from his hands. It's not, look how clever we are. Look how wonderful farmers we are. Look at the abundance that we've accumulated. And we're just going to bring a little bit to God and almost like pay him back for what he's done for us. No, no. It wasn't that. It was to acknowledge that it all belonged to him. All of it belongs to him. And we are reminding ourselves and others that what we're giving to God is not what belongs to us and we're giving him something. No, no, no. What we're doing is acknowledging that everything that we have is coming from him. And we're giving him this small portion, a tenth, just so that we would learn not to hoard things, that we would not learn to boast in the things that we have, but to acknowledge. You know, sometimes people give things to somebody and they charge them like $1. So what's the point? Does a person need a dollar? No. It's to establish that the thing that's been given to you isn't yours. It isn't yours. It came from that person. And so you gave them something for it, right? Just to acknowledge that it's not yours. That's the way it is with God. He has given us all that we need for life and godliness. He wants us to understand that it all belonged to him. And he gave it to you. And so they were commanded to bring back a tenth and keep 90% for themselves. Not to do with it whatever they want, not to boast in it, not to waste it, but rather whatever they do with it, we do it to the glory of God. We don't boast about to others, or look how rich I am, look how clever I am. But yeah, we did give a tenth to God, so everything is kosher. No, everything is not kosher. If our heart is not right, then just going through the motions doesn't do anything. There ought to be a humbling of us. And the Lord lays that out. The things that they would have to say and hear from the priest emphasize that. As they were taught, their father was what? It's not that they were so blessed because they had such wonderful ancestors and they were so successful and we inherited it all from them. No, they don't put it down to that, but rather that their father was really a no one. Nobody. I mean, Abraham, what was he? It wasn't that he was so successful, the richest man in the world, and now he's established a nation. No. He was no one. God had to call him. And he made him into a great nation. My father was a Syrian about to perish. They didn't have strength in themselves. They're not a superior nation or anything. And then he went down to Egypt. For 400 years, they were slaves in Egypt. You're telling me they did it themselves? They raised themselves to become a powerful nation? No, it didn't happen that way. No, they were miserable. They were crying out in Egypt to God. And it's God that delivered them. God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. No Israelite raised a sword when they left Egypt. In fact, they left Egypt laden with goods that the people were given, neighbors were giving it to them so that they would get out of Egypt. No, they walked out victoriously because God led them out. It wasn't them. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their skill in terms of battle. No, they were absolutely downtrodden. And God rescued them. And throughout the whole journey, God was protecting them. I mean, many nations threatened them. Many nations were jealous of them and wouldn't let them pass through their land. All kinds of things that we read about. But God was their mainstay. The nations didn't fear the Israelites. The nations feared the God of the Israelites. Because they heard what he had done to the Egyptians, this mighty nation. He had humbled them. He brought them down to their knees such that these people walked out of Egypt and plundered them. And that's what they were afraid of. But not afraid enough to be at peace with the Israelites, but to fight against them, to hinder them. And so when they went through this ceremony, they had to acknowledge all of these things. They had to be reminded of all of these things. Every nation needs to have that. Every nation needs to be careful that they don't become proud. And nations do become proud. And having all the affluence and the power is easy for us in this country to be proud. And we have to be reminded of the fact that it is by God's goodness that we were able to come to this country, establish it, and know God's blessings upon it, and even say nationally, in God we trust. But how far we've come from that. We don't acknowledge Him. We think we can stand on our own two feet. We think that we can lecture the other nations of the world. And we can chart our own path, whether it deviates from God's word or not. No, our path is wiser, so our society tells us. We're the enlightened, even though we walk contrary to God's commands. No, they were to humble themselves before God and obey His commands and His statutes, to live honoring Him in every aspect of their life. And of course, we know, living on this side of the New Testament, that the things that they experienced really typified what we have to a much greater level than they ever imagined, let alone being delivered from Egypt. We have been delivered from Satan himself. As Christ humiliated him. We never had any victory over the devil, did we? We didn't stamp the devil down and have our lives so perfectly lived in obedience to God's commands. No, we were sinners. We were children of wrath. It's Christ that did it. And we didn't give him any help in doing it. Just like the Israelites didn't give any help to God in delivering them from Egypt. No, he did it with his mighty power through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and set us free and led us to this glorious relationship with him, to be citizens of heaven. That's what we are. We're aliens and strangers from this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been given the right to be called the children of God. That's all God's doing, not yours, not mine. So let's never take the glory to ourselves that we are more righteous than the other nations. I mean, that's what God told them when they went into the promised land. Don't think that you're better than the other nations of the world. Don't think you're the clever or holier than other nations. You're absolutely not. It's because God has set his love upon us freely. And so they were to focus their minds and hearts and the land that they had and enjoyed. This was all a gift from God. They didn't have a mortgage for the promised land. No one had a mortgage. All the tribes were given that land freely. All the families in the tribe were given a piece of that land free. Free. Because it came from God's hands. Free of charge. And so for them to boast in it, for them to take the abundance of the increase that God blessed them with, and bolster their own image, or worse still, oppress other people with it, is a height of ingratitude, of rejecting what God has done and just taking the glory to themselves. So this physically coming to God's house, physically bringing the first fruits of what we have, a tithe of what all that he has given us, back to him and acknowledging that, confessing that before the priest, and the priest reminding them of these things, was a way in which God sought to keep these precious truths before their minds and hearts. So they wouldn't go off on a tangent. They wouldn't go off on their own. They wouldn't become proud and think that they can stand by themselves. But there's another aspect in this event as they came to the house of God, as it were. And that is that they needed to learn how to imitate God. If God is so gracious to them in saving them, bringing them to the promised land, blessing the land so that they have all that they need for life, then they need to learn to do that to other people. I mean, freely, freely you've received, then freely, freely give. Don't hoard it. Don't say, oh, I want to make a name for myself. I'm going to get higher and higher. That's what I want to do. I guess, ironically, I could say, the rich young farmer, I mean, at least he lay in bed saying, oh, I've got riches, I can just relax. I don't know how many people we have in our world like that. They don't. They look for the next level to reach, and then the next level, and the next level. They're never satisfied. Greed is never satisfied, just as hell is never satisfied. It wants more and more and more. And so in this ceremony that they were all to go to, they were to give portions to God's servants. Because remember, they didn't have anything. They didn't get land, right? The tribe of Levi did not get land. So therefore, they were supported by the other tribes. And through the sacrifices, the gifts that they brought, they were to be used to support the priests and the Levites. And so they were to bring a portion to the Levites. But not only to the Levites, but to the needy, the stranger, even one that was not from Israel, they were to be kind to them. They were to help them. You know, so it's all too easy when we're in need to have something, and then we do the same thing, we hoard it. I mean, it wasn't yours, you didn't have it, somebody gave it to you, but and you were thankful, but then you see somebody in need and you close your heart. You know, with children, you give them something. You know, they didn't have it before, you give them. And then you ask them to give one little thing to somebody, the other child? No, it's mine. I'm going to keep it. Because that's our natural tendency, is to just keep it for ourselves. And even if we have abundance, we still want to keep it because you never know. You know, things may go down. I may need it, so let me keep it. Let me store it up for myself. If we want to witness to the world that God is our Heavenly Father and He provides for us, even though we have to use the talents that He's given, but we acknowledge that it all comes from His hand, and He's so benevolent, so kind, so generous to us. If you can't show that to other people, then how are they going to believe you? How are they going to believe you? I mean, you don't have to be rich to be able to give to other people. Just those that are around you, those that you come into contact with every day. When you see a need, then don't just shut your heart. Don't say, oh, I've got so much to, you know, pay off and stuff like that, and I've got so much need, and it's never enough what you have. And you never learn to give. You never learn to care for those around you. Then you're not imitating God, are you? You just want from Him. Sadly, we have that in our society. People just want. Just give me something for free. And they don't have any. I mean, it's like they think they're entitled to it. So not even thankful for it. It's like, as they say, we deserve it because you are rich and we're not, so you have to give to us. No gratitude in there. It's like take it by force and redistribute it. And people think that's great. And you think, what have we come to? But in that setting, we can't close our hearts. As James says, you can't look at someone with need and then simply say, well, I hope the government takes care of you. I hope you're warm tonight. I hope there's somewhere that you can go and get a meal, but you just walk on by. No. How is it that we're going to witness to people out there how grateful we are, how wonderful our God is, and how He has blessed us, and not share with others? So we need to think about that. You think about that. Wherever you are, whoever you interact with on a daily basis, think, how can I show the love of God to them? And when they're in need, how can I reach out a helping hand? Whether it means sharing something with them or giving something to them. But learn what it is that your Father does to the whole world. Every day. He does it. And we want to reflect that to the world. This is our God. This is who we worship. And this is what He does for us day by day. So it's not just to those people we like. It's not just to our own family. Although, of course, it should start there. I mean, if we can't help our family, who are we going to help? If we have no compassion when they have need and we don't want to lift a finger to help them, why would you help anybody else? You can't. As the Bible says, you're worse than pagans. But even pagans in their moments can help their family and friends. No, it ought to be part of our nature to want to help because we've seen it and experienced it from our Father. Not that we want anything in return, because after all, it talks about strangers, aliens that are in the land, also orphans and widows. Orphans and widows. In fact, the New Testament says that that's what we ought to do. That's what godly religion is, to care for the orphans and widows, those that are downtrodden, those that have nothing, just like God looked on Israel when they had nothing and they were oppressed in Egypt for 400 years. He helped them. And if we truly understand our God, truly experience his goodness towards us and acknowledge it and understand it and be grateful for it, then we need to imitate that. And so think to yourself, how can I do that? How can I be aware of people around us? I mean, we're so happy when we say, God watches over us 24 hours a day. He's intimately involved in our lives and he sees that. Well, are you on vacation? When you see people in need, do you look the other way? Do you neglect them? Then how is that imitating our great God in heaven? No, you are the light and salt. You are where they see that God, our God that we worship. And so ask yourself, am I just like the world? Am I just chasing after things? Am I just trying to hoard things? Am I just trying to better myself? And that's all I'm concerned about? Well, think. Because that's what God is impressing upon his people in the Old Testament, in this very practical and down-to-earth way. Be aware of those around you. Be aware of the needs that they have. And as God has given you the ability or the resources, help them to that extent. It may be a little bit, but it's still, from what you're doing, it's a great amount. You're making a sacrifice in helping them. You be light and salt. And finally, the last aspect was worship. They came to God to worship him. Not only to thank him, but to worship him in their hearts and in their lives. And how were they to do that? To live according to his commandments. That's where we show we love him. We can receive all of these things from him and know that they come from him, but if we don't obey him, obedience is better than the fat of rams. That's what the scriptures teach. You may bring your tenth, you may give abundantly to other people around you, but if you don't live a life of obedience, you're insulting God. You're absolutely insulting him. You're not honoring him at all. So it's one thing to go through these motions and do these things, but it has to be in our heart. It has to be that we want to walk in his commandments. We want to please him. We want to pursue holiness. If you're not doing that, you can give away hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It means absolutely nothing. It has to come with your whole life. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so they were to worship him and they were to commit to walking according to his commandments. How will people know that you love God? By keeping his commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And therefore, we need to pursue that life of holiness, acknowledging him and thanking him and showing his wonderful righteousness in the way that we live day by day. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes that on the Sermon on the Mount. It has to be practical Christianity, not just theoretical. No, we're to honor God, we're to praise him, we're to laud him for everything that he has done. But in the end, there has to be a grateful heart, a thankful heart, a generous heart, a loving heart, because that's what the law is. We're keeping God's law. In other words, we're loving God and loving our neighbors ourselves, but we can't part anything that we have, we can't part from it to help them. Then how is that love? God is graciously, or God did graciously give his people these helps. It's not that God was hungry and he wanted a tithe. No, he wanted to preserve his people not going off on this track of being self-indulgent and proud in and of themselves, but that they would always have a healthy relationship with him and acknowledge him as the Father of all good gifts and obey him and share that love with others. So even though they don't read the scriptures, they can read you and they can understand what a glorious God that we worship. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you provide for us these means to keep us on track, to keep us from wandering, even as the Sabbath is, to keep us from being engulfed by the world and the ways of this world. You call us to cease from our labors, from our work, and come and worship you and have our minds and hearts realigned where they ought to be, focused upon you and serving you. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this Thanksgiving Day also, that it brings us back to these basic and vital truths from which the devil is all too eager to lead us astray. And so, our Father, we thank you for this reminder, and we pray that we might seek to impress that upon our families, upon our children, upon ourselves, that we might walk before you according to your law, that we might have hearts that are full of thankfulness for the love that you have shown us in the material things of this world, but more than that and above all of that, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for our sins that we might have life. Our Father in heaven, use us, we pray, as instruments in your hands to display, manifest what a wonderful and loving God you are, that they might be brought to faith and repentance. Our Father, hear our prayer. Bless us this day. May it focus our minds and hearts on you. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 44.